Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the By Yahweh's Design conference call for the 25th of August, year 2021. I am Commander Dan, your host and chairman for this meeting of the House of Jacob Israel. The agenda for today's call is Time to Be an Overcomer. We dedicate this call to our Heavenly Father Yahweh, who is the Great I Am. We also dedicate this call to His Holy Remnant, who are the believing sons and daughters of Jacob, who was later named Israel. Today, these people are known as the Caucasian or the true Israelite peoples of the world. Hallelujah, which means all praise Yah or Yahweh in ancient or Paleo Hebrew. Please note that ancient Hebrew and Yiddish, the language of the Jews today, are not the same thing. Now, a lot of people get that mixed up, but if you even go to Judaic encyclopedias and articles by rabbis from years ago, they'll tell you that saying that a modern-day Jew is an Israelite is a mistake. They're not the same, or calling them Hebrews even is not the same. So a lot of misconception there, and the language they speak is Yiddish, which is primarily ancient German, and has a smattering of Slavic, Russian, and English terms in it today, but it's Yiddish. Kind of interesting that the word Yid in their language means deceiver. So Yiddish is the language of deception. To my Welsh kinsmen, Shumai, which basically means welcome to the program. Cymru am byth, Wales forever. We are in the question and answer mode, so when you call in, you will be muted automatically until such time as you indicate you wish to speak, and then I'll put you in a queue, and then in the order that you are put in the queue, I will take your comments and or questions. Our website is www.pastordan.net, and Pastor Dan is altogether with no spaces. I'm not sending out as much mail as I used to, so I would encourage folks to go to the Daily Mail page on my website where I post any of the significant news items that I personally am either sent or I come across. And let me tell you, there's a flurry of information out there, especially since the media is trying to say that the Food and Drug Administration, or FDA, has approved the Pfizer experimental drug, and that is an absolute lie. Many doctors are now talking about it. Talk show hosts are talking about it. Other experts are explaining that if you look at the actual documents, which people don't, because ever since this nonsense started, if you looked at the actual, quote, mandates, there were all kinds of exceptions to the mandate written right into them if anybody bothered to look at them, because that's what I used when I went to the stores and whatnot. I just said, well, I have an exemption. That's all I had to say. I'm exempt per the mandate. I didn't have to explain which exemption applied. I just simply told them I'm exempt. So, you know, they gave you an out. Just nobody took it. Again, we're supposed to be overcomers, and our people have forgotten what overcoming actually is talking about. So we're going to get into that a little bit, too. And I want to give my greeting out to my cousins around the world. Amis parents français, bienvenue à l'appel. Amis parentes espagnoles, bienvenidos a la llamada. Zumeinen deutschen Verwandten, willkommen beim Anruf. All of them are other lands, welcome to the call. Today, Psalm 119, verse 165. Those who love your law have great peace. P-E-A-C-E, peace. Nothing causes them to stumble. Now, the reason I like that verse is that it, in a nutshell, says what's going on today, because the people that are going around that are completely out of their minds with paranoia, fear, confusion, all that, they don't love the Yah, the law of our Heavenly Father, Yah's law. They don't love it. Okay, it says those who love His law. Okay, if you love the law, then you wish to obey the law. Isn't that how it works? Yeah, it actually does. You know, a lot of people banter around with that word love, and they don't even know what it means. Okay, I've heard plenty of people say they love somebody, and then in their next breath, they are saying crazy and obscene things about their partners or their friends or whatever, yet they told somebody they love them. That doesn't jive. That's an oxymoron, so to speak. It doesn't go together, okay? So again, the verse says, if you are one of those who love His law, it brings great peace. Why? Because the law was written not to punish us, but to keep us from stumbling and falling. If you look around the world today and you see all the mischief and the lying, deceiving, and the greed that the world has adopted, that is the motive behind all of this nonsense that's going on today. So when you hang on to Father's law, which the law and our Father in heaven, give me just a second. The law and our Heavenly Father are inseparable. You can't have one without the other, okay? So if you say, I love the Father, but I don't like all those cumbersome rules that He's got, you know, the one about what foods to eat and not, the ones about marriage, the ones about circumcision, the ones about, race mixing and all this other stuff. You can't pick and choose. It's not like going to a cafeteria and you get to walk down the line and pick the verses that you wish to keep and throw the rest of them away. It doesn't work that way. Not only that, but Yahweh said, I'm going to put my laws on their hearts. I've used that with a few people that tell me that they're going to argue with the things we talk about on this show, because if you read your Bible, that's how they always started out. If you read your Bible, you would know that you're crazy when you talk about that the races should stay segregated. Well, that's crazy, because it's obvious that they should, and our people practiced it for millennia. Okay, that's thousands of years. Millennia, we practice segregation, and the other races did as well. Because that's the only way you maintain racial purity, and racial purity, as anybody who ever studied eugenics would tell you, racial purity is where you get the healthiest individuals. They have the least physiological problems with their bodies. They have the least mental problems, psychological problems, etc. Purebreds, thoroughbreds, okay? That's just the fact. Now, these Zionist invaders in our world want us to believe what the devil says, that you can be gods unto yourself. Isn't that what he told Eve in the garden? Yeah. Adam, for whatever strange reason, wasn't doing his due diligence in protecting Eve. So Nakash is the word in the Hebrew for the Satan or serpent that talked to Eve. Nakash doesn't mean the snake on the ground, like your fairy tale tellers tell you, and they show pictures of Eve in the garden. They got this reptile coming down out of a tree, which is totally ridiculous. Nakash in the Hebrew just meant a crafty, lying, deceiving man. No different than if I call my neighbor a snake. I'm not saying he's got a forked tongue and crawls on the ground. That's bullshit. All I'm saying is my neighbor is an asshole and he has no character. He's a liar, a thief, and a cheat, a scoundrel. That's what the ancient word meant. And even in English today, when you call somebody a snake, it's the same as 5,000 years ago when they called him a Nakash. Okay, so the Nakash was in the garden talking to Eve because Adam had left her alone, unprotected. So her cover was gone. Satan saw the opportunity and he goes in, hey, Eve. Hey, baby. How's it going? By the way, you don't like those cumbersome rules about, watching who you sleep with and, all those other crazy things. He goes, I'm a pretty good looking guy. What do you think? Shouldn't you go over here behind the trees over here in the shade? And what do you say? Let's get together here, huh? Oh, no. It says in the book, you can be amongst the trees, but you're not to take fruit with certain trees, not to bear fruit with them. Oh, come on, Eve. You can be a god unto yourself. You can interpret it whatever way you want. I've had people do that to me. Oh, Dan, in my King James Bible, it says this, and it's the Word of God. Really? No shit. It's the Word of God. Okay. Well, then tell me how come we have, like, what is it, 200 or more translation in the English language alone, and none of them agree with each other. So which one did God inspire, and which one did he? Didn't he? The original scriptures were written in Hebrew and Aramaic, and later they were translated by our elders. The Septuagint means 70. So 70 elders got together in Alexandria, Egypt, a long time ago, and they took the ancient writings and put them into the Greek language. And so today we have almost zero manuscripts or even partial manuscripts in the actual ancient Paleo-Hebrew. Very few. And usually only small fragments, okay? So you can take that small fragment and compare it to the Septuagint, and generally it matches up very, very well. So the really only complete text we have is the Septuagint, and that's all in the Greek language. If you get a copy of the Apostolic Bible Polyglot, it is written in the Greek text, and it has the Strong's numbers in it, and it has a basic English translation right under the Greek text. But you can actually read it in the Greek, and it has the Strong's numbers by each of the Greek words, so you can look them up in the Greek Strong's Greek dictionary. So the point I'm trying to make is that his writings, these inspired writings, at least we're making that assumption, they came to us in the Greek language. So when you have your English today and these people start waving a King James or an NIV or the Living Bible, and this is the Word of God, and then they flip it open and they try to tell you you're out to lunch because of what you're saying, it's ridiculous. As I told one caller recently who tried to argue with me, I said, well, what did our ancestors do from the time of Christ, Messiah, up until Gutenberg and the Gutenberg Press and the English from the German translations first, and then the English? I said, what did they do in the 1,500 years? That's a long time. What did they do from the time of Christ all the way up until these Catholic Bibles started showing up? What did they do? Well, this individual didn't want to answer me and said, I'll have to get back to you. Well, I'm still waiting for the phone call. All right. So for 1,500 years, our people were basically going to hell because they didn't have the inspired Word of God to go by. Is that what you actually believe? I don't believe that for 1 minute, because even in the book itself, it says that I wrote my laws on their hearts. So when you take just a minute and shut off the Jewish propaganda machines and just think and meditate on a subject, generally the Holy Spirit will minister unto you and give you an answer. That's the way it works. But you have to make a move. The Father's not going to try to get your attention through all the noise of rock and roll music or the workplace or the discotheque or the sports stadium or the tiki hut or the sports bar where you go and everybody's yakking and clanging dishes and beer mugs and the clamor of life. He's not going to compete with that. I got news for you. He doesn't. He doesn't have to, and he's not going to. It'd be like me with my children when they come in, and I'm trying to talk to them, but they've got headsets on, and they're listening to their music, and they got a TV over in the corner, so they're glancing over that while they got this noise in their ears, and you're sitting there trying to have a conversation with them. Let me know how that works out for you, but for me, it doesn't work out, so the TV goes off, the headsets come off, the radio gets turned off, and let me have your undivided attention, son, because we need to have a conversation. Same thing goes for you in your prayer life. If you want to know what the Father thinks about something, take your time, go to a quiet place and have a conversation, and generally it'll be revealed to you. So what we see going on in the world today is absolute, utter chaos because our people are listening to the propaganda mills instead of their own instincts and the Holy Spirit giving you a verification. Now, I also find it very interesting that propaganda is a name for putting out information to twist the way people think about something to get a political gain. And the Jewish media wants you to think that the Germans, just prior to World War II, invented propaganda. But that is a lie, because the Jews lie, just like Christ said in John chapter 8, they lie. If their lips are moving, they're typically lying, okay? So, propaganda was actually invented by a fellow by the name of Edward Bernays, who just happens to be Jewish, and he just happens to be related to Sigmund Freud, also Jewish, of course, the so-called father of psychology and psychiatry, which is a bullshit science, by the way. It's a bullshit science to give Jews just another opportunity to make money on weak-minded individuals who could have easily gone to the Holy Spirit and the Bible for an answer, or to their brethren. Instead, they pay outrageous fees to have some kike have them sit on a couch and tell their life story. Now, isn't it interesting? The Jews were instrumental in the Catholic Church, and don't they have a very similar practice? Yeah, they do. It's called confession to the priest. What better way to manipulate people and to find out what their secrets are than to have them confess them to this holy man, the priest, who runs back to tell the local bishop, who runs to tell the cardinal, and the cardinal tells the pope. And so if you're a local magistrate or a sheriff or a military man or whatever, okay, now they've got your deep, dark secrets. And if anybody thinks the father is not sharing his information with the upper chain of command in the Catholic Church, you're an idiot. Of course they are. That was the whole reason for it. You don't confess to a man. You never confess to a man. So they came up with the same BS idea about psychiatry and psychology. Same thing. Have you sit there and pour out your guts. Now they've got all this personal information on you. Of course, they're going to swear not to use it or tell anybody else. It's client privilege. And if you believe that, again, you really do need to have your head examined, only not by a Jew psychiatrist, but by a fellow believer in Yahshua, and get your act together. So anyway, Edward Bernays comes up with this idea of how to propagandize people. But you know how it started? It didn't start out with the propaganda like we know it today. It started out with marketing. In fact, he wrote books on marketing and how to market ideas and manipulate masses to buy products. So political propaganda is exactly like public relations, because in public relations, you're trying to get people to buy a product, typically. That's what marketing is all about. How do you put the product in front of a camera and have the music playing and the backdrop, and you make the cereal look so perfect, or the white mustache that's painted on somebody's lip while they're drinking a glass of milk. Do you see how it works? That's called marketing. It's also propaganda to get you to buy a product. So political propaganda is simply the same exact methodology used to get you to buy a concept. And the reason I'm bringing this up is because you're being propagandized right now as far as these things called vaccines. And just recently, they put out propaganda that the FDA approved a Pfizer vaccine when that is a lie. But they packaged it. Uh-oh. Can we say the serpent? Because they have used wizardry in the wording. They are performing magic with words to get you to believe something that's not true, because they know the average person will never read the actual documents. They know that. They're too damn lazy. That is why they now want you to constantly click on a button that says, I accept the terms of service. How many people actually go read what the latest terms of service are? Almost nobody. So they just click it because they want to buy the goodie at Amazon, or they want to send money to somebody. So they just click on it. They don't think about, well, you have just agreed to the terms of service. And many times there are serious problems in the terms of service for a lot of these programs and platforms on your electronic devices. But again, they're taking advantage of Adam and Eve out here that don't ever follow through, don't ever check anything out. They don't dig into anything. They don't question anything. And God forbid they actually hold somebody accountable for doing something wrong. I mean, how did you sit on your ass while legislators were putting together so-called laws that allow pharmaceutical companies to escape liability for harming people with their drugs? How in the hell did that happen? Somebody want to explain it to me, please? Phone lines are open. Explain to me how that happened. Who was asleep at the wheel? I know who, one group that was, and that's your local preachers. You know, those smooth-talking devils, those prostitutes behind pulpits. And I don't care if you're talking about the Eastern Orthodox Catholic, the Roman Catholic, the Protestant, they're all the same. To control the masses the same way the Baal priests did back in the days of Samuel and the other prophets. The priests of Baal, what was their job? To have a form of godliness, but deny the power of it, and in that form of godliness, get the people to buy the propaganda that you are somehow a man of God and you have some kind of special connection and you're going to tell the people what the scriptures really mean, even though it's in black and white and pretty damn easy to figure out. Okay? It's all mind control. Now, the beautiful thing is people are starting to wake up. That's why I entitled it, It's Time to Be an Overcomer. Overcome your fears, overcome your laziness, overcome your arrogance and your ignorance. Overcome your desire to be left alone to the point that the world is crashing around you and you still won't get off your ass to help stop what's happening. Be an overcomer by simply going up to the different businesses and these tyrants that want you to do something that's harmful to you, like wearing a dirty diaper all day on your face, and simply telling them, I'm not going to do it. Now, I've told my family for a year and a half, I have not put that damn thing on, and I'm not going to, and they sure as hell aren't going to stick me with their poison. The one store that I did not finish what I started to do was in Sprouts, which has a lot of organics and all that. And they used to be a good store, but I found out just before this whole COVID bullshit stuff started, they sold the company. So the original owners, who were very people-friendly and conservative, they sold out, and I can give you three guesses on who they sold the company to. And now the people that you call to complain or get information are pretty much assholes, very demanding. And when I went into the store, this young punk basically was, you can't do that. You have to leave or put a mask on. I said, well, I've got stuff in my cart. Why don't I just pay for it and get out? He said, no, you won't be able to get paid for it. So I just turned around and walked out and left the cart sit there. I said, here, put it back on the shelf. You're not getting any more of my time. You won't get any more of my money. And I haven't been into a Sprouts since. And I've told everybody in my family, if you can avoid them, avoid them. They're run by a bunch of assholes. I would lay a $100 bill on a table that they're Jewish or controlled by Jews at some point, because their attitude is completely anti-Christ, anti-American, anti-white. And they're going along with this bullshit. And I'm not going to give any time or money to companies or people who are going along with this anti-Christ agenda that is very remarkably similar to what your books are telling you about the mark of the beast. In fact, let's face it, it is the mark. Your compliance with this whole COVID insanity is a mark that you worship government and corporate entities and banks. They're all in bed together. And centralized mainstream religion. They're all in it together. And they form what the Bible calls the beast. And if you worship the beast, you obviously do not love the living God and his law. You have turned your back on him and his law, and you worship the beast. Because Yahweh told you that your body is a temple. Okay? What's a temple? A temple is considered a holy place, correct? Meaning sanctified. Sanctified for service to the living God. Your body is a temple. Why is it called a temple? Because within you resides the Spirit of the living God. And you make a choice every single day whether you're going to follow the leading of that small voice that connects you to what we call the intelligent designer, or the God the Father, the Creator, who's trying to keep you on the straight and narrow. You have turned your back on that and instead are giving your allegiance, your time, your obedience to the beast. And therefore, you're marked. So wearing the diaper, which again is harmful to your temple and makes it a violation of God's law, accepting the jab in your arm is another violation of God's law. You've put an unknown experimental substance into your body. You have violated his law. And you're showing your worship of the beast, because the beast is telling you absolute insanity. Not facts, no science, no real medicine, because people have looked into all these documents and have proven it. It's all political power and pushing by the antichrists. And so if you go along with it, you have basically said, okay, I give up, I accept the mark, I'll worship the beast. And what does the book say about those that do that? You can read that on your own time. It's not a very good thing. I would think you would be very, very careful not to do that. Now, some other verses that have to do with overcoming the world, we can go to John chapter 16, verse 33. I have told you these things that in me you may have peace. Now, think about this. In Psalm 119, he said, those who love his laws have great peace. So whose laws is he talking about in the book of Psalms? Well, Yahweh's. So now we're in the New Testament, John chapter 16. I have told you, meaning the words of Christ here, I have told you these things that in me you may have peace. Do you see a correlation there? In me, Yahweh in a flesh body. In the world you have trouble, but cheer up, I have overcome the world. Yeah, Yahweh has. Because in the flesh, Yahweh himself fulfilled his own law. That was the purpose of his coming here in the flesh, to fulfill his law and to allow us to be remarried to him, because he divorced us for our idolatry and our horrendous sins. And a sin is a transgression of his law. So here again, we're talking about his law. So that's where sin comes from. Sin is not having bad thoughts, or like mom and dad used to say, well, you know, if you masturbate, that's a sin. If you read a Playboy magazine, that's a sin. If you have a lewd thought about a naked woman, that's a sin. Well, that's funny, because the book describes a sin as violation of his law. Okay, Ella says here, taking the jab is like drinking the Kool-Aid. Yep, absolutely. Okay, so again, we've been lied to, because ignorant parents, apostate, prostitute preachers, and all this stuff pushing the church agenda to get you to feel guilty, because here again, people who are either afraid or feel guilty are easily manipulated, are they not? Yeah, they are. So he says again, cheer up, for I have overcome the world, and since he's within us, we can also overcome the world, just like those of us who have said, I'm not putting on the damn dirty diaper, and I'm not putting your damn poison in my body. I don't care what your propaganda says, and if you want to fire me, fire me. But I know there's already stories coming out where nurses, doctors, dental office workers and stuff, they've gotten up and 40, 50, 60% of them said, okay, here's my resignation. I'll find another job. That's all it takes. So afraid of losing things, then they've already won. That's why Christ said, if you want to save your life, you have to be willing to give it up. Do you understand what he meant by that? He didn't mean go out and slit your wrists and bleed to death out here. That's not what he's talking about. And becoming a martyr by stepping in front of a Sherman tank. No, that's not what he's talking about. What he's talking about is, if you're so afraid of what happens to you in this world that you allow others to get you to do things that are harmful, either to yourself or to others, you now place your life or your livelihood or your possessions over your integrity and over the truth and over God's promises. You've placed that there. That's why he said, when you do that, you've lost your life already. You lost your life here, which is your freedom and your liberty that you had from the moment you were born. You've lost it. And they will control you from that point on. So he doesn't want us to suffer and lose our lives in the name of being followers. He simply wants you to say to the enemy, do your worst, but I'm not going to comply. That's it. I do not consent. I am not going to go along with your program. And people finally are starting to do that. It's kind of interesting, because the percentages I hear being bounced back and forth by the different truth tellers and everything else are matching what the prophets told us pretty damn close. Two-thirds of mankind are going to bite the dust. So according to the ones that get the jab, the ones that are being harmed by people that are vaccinated, the after effects of all this, the mental problems that people are having, the emotional problems, the road rage, you name it, all of these things could impact as much as two-thirds of mankind. So now the experts are even talking about it. So maybe those parts of the scripture are true and accurate. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 20, for if, after they have escaped the defilement of the world through the knowledge of Yahweh and our Messiah, Yahshua HaMashiach, they are again entangled in it, and overcome, the last state has become worse for them than the first. So we got one there. Let's see, and I already covered John 16. First John chapter 4, verse 4. You are of Elohim God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. And again, talking about the fact within you is the Holy Spirit of the Most High, if and when you listen and obey it. So you have a choice. You can become a son or daughter of the Most High, or you can ignore it and go your own way. And today we're finding out what the consequences of going your own way is. The Antichrists have risen high, and we're in the end of the age time frame. There is absolutely no doubt about it. 1 John chapter 5, verse 4. For whatever is born of Elohim God overcomes the world. This is the victory that has overcome the world, your faith. How many times have we talked about that? Christ said when he was here, will I find faith on the earth when I return? That's a good question, because the answer seems to be damn little of it. You got preachers, you got churches full of people, and you got maybe a thimble full of faith in him. Because they're going to trust a Anthony Fauci, who is a criminal and wouldn't even make a good used car salesman, because he looks like an absolute weasel and a liar and a crook. You got people like Burks and the rest of the CDC and WHO criminals, and they look like gangsters. They don't even talk like legitimate scientists or medical people. They look like a bunch of people from the mob coming down there and talking about the next thing the mob wants you to do. And they're running an extortion racket. You know, we talked about that here many times. There's a book that's written, it's called Red Mafia, How the Russian Mob Invaded the United States, by Robert Friedman. I've read the book, and it's an excellent book. And what's really interesting is when he talks about the fact that Russian mob is a euphemism for the Jewish mob. He goes, now, true, this mob, these gangsters came out of the Ukraine and Russia, so they're technically Russian from that standpoint, but do you see how they obfuscate the truth by saying Russian? And they'll claim, well, they came out of Russia, but that doesn't describe who they are. Okay, black people live in America, brown people, yellow people, white people. That doesn't tell you the racial construct. So saying that they came out of Russia, therefore it's a Russian mob, is a lie if you're wanting to know who are the Red Mafia, because they're Jewish. So the Red Mafia left the Ukraine and they came to Brighton Beach, New York, and established headquarters here decades ago. And they brought with them their mob mentality and their mob tactics and started making money like there's no tomorrow in drugs, prostitution, booze, gambling, blackmail, you name it. And you know what they did with all that huge amount of money that they now had? They bought their way into government. They bought their way into the court system. And you want to know why your governments at the local level, the state level, and the federal level, they act more like mobsters? Because they are. They are no different than the Ukrainian Jews that came over here decades ago and started their money laundering and all the rackets over here in the States. And by the way, their second headquarters is right here in Miami. And I'm sure they've got one out on the West Coast now too, probably out in Reno or somewhere in California. The point of it is, the reason that we have a criminal government that doesn't give a rat's ass about the Constitution, doing the right thing, our Christian heritage, is because they're Jewish mobsters, and as good Jews, they hate Christians and they hate the Bible. So they don't give a damn about what Christ said. They don't give a damn about our culture, our heritage, and they sure as hell don't give a damn about your constitutions, because they're gangsters. And these gangsters only know one thing: violence and force. They will get you to comply through violence and force, and if you wish to get them off of your neck, you're going to have to use violence and force. It's as simple as that. If you don't believe me, Robert Friedman, a Jew, wrote the book. Even though they threatened to kill him if he exposed them, and he did anyway, he wrote the book, and sure enough, he mysteriously died shortly thereafter. Much like Arthur Kessler, another Jew, Ashkenazi Jew, who wrote the book The 13th Tribe, which tells us how the Ashkenazi Jews, who are the vast majority of Jews today, by the way, how the Ashkenazi Jews came into existence from the land called Khazaria in the central steppes of Russia. So here again, another band of Eastern European Jews descending upon the world. So he wrote the book, The 13th Tribe, which explains what the Star of David is to the Jew and how that all came about and how they became the people that we know today and what they're doing. And he also was murdered within 2 years of publishing the book because he exposed what they were doing. He hid out in London. I believe it was somewhere in England that he and his wife were basically trying to elude these Jewish mobsters and these Mossad agents trying to take them out for publishing the book, but they only succeeded for a couple years, and they finally got to him and killed them both. So people out there that say sometimes if we have a source of information, well, you know, Dan, that's not one of our people. Well, yeah, but sometimes people tell the truth for different reasons. Okay, Robert Friedman told the truth, and it cost him his life. Benjamin Friedman told us about the communist Jews in our government back in the 60s. Okay, Harold Rosenthal gave an interview and exposed a lot of what they're doing. If I remember right, it cost him his life as well. So for whatever reason, these people on the inside of this circle of thieves and mobsters feel compelled to tell what's really going on. So who knows? Didn't Nebuchadnezzar do some righteous things? Didn't Yahweh make him do some righteous thing? Didn't Belshazzar put up some truth, write it on a wall, whatever? I'm just going by memory here, but I know that there were people who were not of the Israelites who Yahweh can use to do his will on earth. So truth is truth. It doesn't matter what the source is. That's my point. 1 John chapter 5, verse 5, who is he who overcomes the world but he who believes that Yahshua is the son or progeny of Elohim God? The Greek word weos, which is where you get the word son from, weos doesn't mean literally a son, such as my sons, born of me and my ex-wife. Okay? It can also mean an ancestor or progeny, or posterity. So it's not a direct, as the Catholic Church tries to make it out to be, that Christ was literally the Son, like Yahweh came down and impregnated Mary, or Maria. Yeah, it's kind of funny. Her actual name is Maria, so we don't even get that right. They say Mary, but that's not her name. Go read the Greek texts. It was Maria. You see what I'm saying? We don't get anything right anymore, do we? Yeah, that's the one thing I noticed going through the Apostolic Bible. I'm reading in the New Testament. I'm coming up to the verses and where they talked about Mary, and I'm going, that's not the name here. So the naysayers will say, well, back in the days of the Greeks and all, that was their version of Mary. It was, Maria. Well, yeah, but if you're a translator, why wouldn't you keep it as close to the original as possible? So if their word was Maria, we have the word Maria today. It's not like we don't use Maria. Why did you change it to Mary? Mary's not close to Maria, is it? So if you were a translator, which one would you have picked? Just like Nakash in the garden. So you're talking about somebody who can speak, who can beguile, who can seduce, and who can impregnate a woman. Now, so with those being the conditions, and you've got this word, and you can choose the reptile that crawls on the ground as the translation, or a lying, deceiving and conniving man, which do you think would fit better? Yeah, you don't have to be a scholar from a college or an astronaut or a rocket scientist to figure that one out, do you? Of course, you'd pick the man. That makes more sense. But all of your English Bibles, they talk about a snake when the actual word should have been serpent. So they'll say snake. And so you walk around with all these images, just like today, with the FDA approving a drug when that's not actually what it said. The same thing goes with scripture. Most people walk around with these notions in their head, and they're 9 times out of 10, they're completely wrong. And we wonder why we're in trouble. He said, my people suffer from a lack of knowledge. Amen. That's in the Proverbs. That word knowledge could have been interpreted as truth as well. So, knowledge or truth. And our people, look at them today. Look at these people out here. They're doing all kinds of insane things and getting angry with each other and blaming each other and pointing fingers, and you're crazy. Okay? People are just freaking crazy. It's unbelievable where we're at today. Unbelievable. Oh. I'm just checking a few notes here, so give me just a second. I saw some really, really good interviews given today. What's his name? Greg Hunter. Greg Hunter with Watchdog, USA Watchdog. Yeah, is it USA Watchdog? That's it. USAWatchdog.com. Greg Hunter, who used to work for, I think he used to work for CNN. Long time ago, but Greg did a really good one today. He put up 3 separate videos all talking about the lie FDA and what the media is putting out there. And one of them was a doctor. And then he also had a friar who is like a monk, kind of. And he gave his opinion of where we're at with all this stuff. And it was eye-opening, to say the least. It was eye-opening. Very, very candid, very, very straightforward. They didn't pull any punches about the seriousness of all this, and none of us should either. So if you want to go to usawatchdog.com, you can check that out and find out that a lot of good references there. You can also go to our friend right out of Miami, his website, thebigvirushoax.com. He's got a ton of information there. And the Children's Defense Alliance, they put up a lot of things there too. And also the vaccine, can't remember it. I didn't write it down either. There was another one, the Vaccine Impact. That's it, Vaccine Impact. You can search for that. Tons of information. Again, if you care about what the truth is. Okay, the problem today is that a lot of people just simply don't care. They really don't care. They want to stay ignorant, or as the Bible says, with their ears tickled. Okay, the Bible will call it the tickling of your ears, which is a way of saying, tell me the sweet sounding lies. Come on, Dan, lie to me. Don't tell me the truth. The truth hurts. The truth means I might have to think. The truth means I might have to get off my ass and do something. The truth, oh, Dan, not the truth. I have this illusion I've created in my mind. So what do 90% of the people do? They put up their hands and, oh, whoop, no, stop right there. My local priest, my local preacher, you know, he told me what's going on. I trust him. Dr. Fauci, he's got credentials and he looks smart, and he's got a lab coat on, and he's got credentials on his lapel, and he's got stethoscope. He looks the part. And then they got a crisis actor, and he's got a nice white lab coat on, and he told me that the vaccine is good. Yeah, we're actually that stupid today. We really are that stupid. We believe that it's on the screen of our TVs or our laptops or on our phones that it must be true. We've lost the ability to realize that they are created images. I remember years ago, I got in a debate working out in Iowa at a power plant, and a bunch of us at a coffee break, we got into this debate about something going on in the world. This was back in the 1990s, and I can't remember what it was, but it was some big news event. I think it had to do with the Branch Davidians there in Waco, Texas. And this guy stood up and he was giving us this discourse on how evil David Koresh was and the Branch Davidians. So when everybody was shaking their heads listening to this guy say how David Koresh and all of those senior citizens and 17 little children deserved to be shot to death and burned alive in the building. He was going on about that. And I just looked at him and I said, so you're saying that all these innocent people deserve to die? Well, yeah. I said, because you say David Koresh was this or that. I said, so how long did you know David before this happened? He just looked at me. What do you mean? How long did I know? I said, how long did you know him? I said, you're going on and on and on about his sexual proclivities, his outlook on life, his interpretation of the Bible. I said, so you guys had to have been friends for quite a while. So how long did you know him? Well, I don't know him. I said, well, then where the hell did you get all this information? You're pumping this whole room full of people, full of this bullshit. Where did you get your information, lad? Well, from television. I said, from television? Really? I said, now, aren't we the same group that just had a 10-minute discussion on how the news media lies about everything? We were talking then about Vietnam and different things like that. I said, we just sat in here and we all agreed that the news media is pretty much a pack of lying bastards. And yet you're going to sit here and condemn David Koresh to death, all those senior citizens and 17 little children who were burned alive. You are okay with that based on what television told you? I said, you are dumber than a box of rocks. Then he went on like a couple days later telling us about something in history, about the settling of the West and the American Indians and all. And I just looked at him and again, I said, dude, are you talking about the movie? And some movie Hollywood had just put out like a year or so ago about this so-called event. And he said, well, yeah. I said, now, do you know that movies are made up by movie producers in Hollywood on stages? Yeah, well, why, Dan? I said, so you're believing, rather than reading an actual history book, you're going to sit here and pontificate about a historical event, But rather than read any books about it or do any kind of research on your own, you're going to base what you're sitting here telling us on a movie. You see, that's what kind of people we've become. Somebody can put together a movie and we start talking about it like it's real. It reminds me of the time I came home and I heard my wife at the time talking to somebody on the phone, and she was getting really animated about what this man and woman were doing. She was going on about their infidelity and the way they talk and all, and I'm thinking, who the hell are you talking about? That doesn't sound like anybody we know. So when she hung up the phone, I just looked at her and I said, who were you talking about? And it, you know what it turned out to be? A soap opera. She was getting animated and upset about a soap opera. Now, in case there's anybody in this audience that doesn't know it, soap operas are just like movies. They have actors and actresses, and they're following a script, and they're not real. I just shook my head and just walked out of the room. It was like, are you kidding me? We actually have live people that have illnesses and marital problems and other relationship problems and all this stuff going on in the world, and you're going to sit there and use your energy up and your emotion on a soap opera or a movie or a stage production? Now do you see why when NASA, the National Aerospace, what the hell does NASA stand for? National Aerospace Agency or something like that. I can't remember now. But anyway, NASA. When NASA was created, one of the first things they did was hire movie producers from Disney Studios. Did you know that? Now, wouldn't a thinking person ask, why would a aeronautical and space agency, why would they want movie producers? Good question, isn't it? Isn't it kind of funny that NASA, N-A-S-A, is very close to a Hebrew, that's our language, not the Jews, the Hebrew word NASA, pronounced exactly the same way, which means a lie or a deception. And it has to do with a wandering star. You see, in antiquity, they considered a wandering star as an analogy to somebody that would tell fanciful tales. Typically, a lie or a story to take somebody away from the living God. Isn't that interesting? So we have an agency named after the Hebrew word that means lies and deceptions to take you away from the Father Creator. Isn't that interesting? You know, there's another interesting thing. The Greeks had a word that meant the exact same thing. Do you know what that word was? Planetes. Yeah, the word planet comes from planetes. The same exact meaning. You're being played, ladies and gentlemen. You're being played. We all are being played. The good news is the consciousness of the world is starting to realize that man-made governments are the enemy of mankind. Mainstream centralized religions are the enemies of mankind. Centralized banks, world banks, international finance are enemies of mankind. And last but not least, corporations, a product of the state. Corporations are enemies of mankind. Now, the sooner mankind wakes up to these monsters and how they operate, how they lie, how they distort things, just like the FDA supposedly approving something when they did not. What they approved was a, Comirnaty, that's it, Comirnaty. What a screwed up word that is. That's a new drug that Pfizer wants to put out. So what they approved was the application for the new vaccine that will be developed in a year or two or three. Okay, so it doesn't exist. It doesn't exist. They simply approved the application. And as far as the poison that they're putting into people's bodies right now that's causing all of the adverse effects, in fact, all of the vaccines are causing adverse effects, but this particular one with Pfizer, and they're all Jewish companies, by the way. Every one of these pharmaceuticals is owned by groups of Jews. So Pfizer's poison that was given emergency use, that was given approval to be extended. That was what that was approved for. So they gave an extension to the emergency use of this poison on our people. And the reason they did that is because they can't approve it, because if they approve it, they can be held liable. As long as it is an experimental serum, they are not liable for it. In other words, when you put this shit in your body and you get harmed by it, you cannot come back on the pharmaceutical company. Do you understand that? So under those kind of circumstances, they're never going to care if it's actually approved, because it actually benefits them if it is not approved. You see what I'm saying? So all the FDA did was extend the emergency use of the poison currently being given out, and they approved the application for a new poison that will be coming out in 2 to 3 years. So do you see how they play their word magic? Because they know that our people are simple anymore. They're not very smart, just like children. So they put on the screen FDA approval. They don't bother to say exactly what they approved. They don't bother to explain it to you, because they know, like little children, you'll see the headline FDA approval and you'll run around like, oh, wow, it's approved now. Let's put it in our bodies, even though it's killing people, it's hurting people. Even members of my family have now repented of having this stuff put in their bodies, speaking out against it. And they are pissed off that they are being shut down on some of the social media, because they're telling people the actual stories of what have happened to them with this serum in their bodies. And they have vowed that they will not. They conspiracy theorist, paranoid old man, don't know what you're talking about. Why don't you trust the medicine and the science, Dan? I said, well, if it was real science and real medicine, maybe I would. But I'm a naturopath, so I know what real medicine is. Because until John Rockefeller, the Jew, bought up all of the medical schools in the early 1900s, approximately 100 years ago, until that time, naturopathy was considered medicine. So from back in the days of the Romans and the Greeks, who practiced holistic medicine, herbs and changing of diet and all that kind of stuff, that was considered medicine, clear up until about 100 years ago, when our famous Rockefeller came in and bought up the medical schools, where they started teaching the burn, cut, and poison methods, because These same Jews also started producing vaccines and drugs because you can't make money on things you can pick out of the forest. Okay? And you cannot put a patent on something that grows naturally. So they have to make it engineered so they can get a patent put on it, and then they can escalate the price by 100-fold. Do you see how the game works here, people? Just like aspirin. Now, do you need to chew on aspirin? No, because you could go out like our ancestors did and go to a white willow tree and take a piece of the bark off and chew it, and you get the same effect. Okay? And I have some of those in a bottle right here on my shelf. White willow ground down into capsules so that if I do have an ache or pain or a headache, maybe once a year, twice a year, I pop a couple of these completely natural products and my headache goes away. Isn't that amazing? Okay, so our ancestors would peel a little piece of bark off, but you see, you can't patent that. Therefore, you can't make billions of dollars selling it to silly sheep who don't know their ass from a hole in the ground when it comes to real medicine, but they'll believe what the images on that flat screen tell them, because our enemies control that, and they make a fortune off of your misery. That's why modern medicine has nothing to do with curing you of anything. In fact, if you're a doctor with a license and you start talking about curing something, you will probably lose your license. I know if you're a naturopath, like myself, they gave us classes in the school to teach us what words not to say. Because this upside-down world and these crooked lawyers and medical facilities will come after you if you use one of their patented words like cure, patient, diagnose, or treat. So you won't hear naturopaths hardly ever use those words. Okay, we don't have patients, we don't treat anything, we don't cure anything, because the medic mafia has absconded with those words, and they're the only ones allowed to use it. Now, you may think that's silly, but again, if you go look into it, you'll find out it's true. I was in the classes, and the classes were given by people who learned the hard way what things you don't say. Okay, it's just like the Amishman a year or two ago was selling salve that's been around for hundreds of years. Black salve, we used to call it. My mom had a tin full of it that she kept in our cupboard the whole time I was growing up. And it was comfrey and a bunch of other herbs, and it was mixed together into this sticky salve. And we used it for everything. We used it for cuts and bruises and spider bites and bug bites. Anything like that. And when I got stung by a wasp, I remember one day my mom put a little bit on that wasp stinger, and it wasn't too long until my body rejected the stinger and it came up out of there and we were able to get it out of my arm. This stuff was like magical because it could work on so many different things. It had healing properties. It had an astringent in it. It had things that help with blood circulation, which brings healing. Do you see how Yahweh's way works? It's beautiful. It's simple. And it helps the body heal itself. That is your best defense, ladies and gentlemen, your own body, just as right now. And that's why I didn't get afraid from day one with this whole COVID insanity. Not one day did they get away with it with me. The first day they started preaching this stuff on the news, I looked at my brother and I said, it's a lie. You know that, right? Well, how do you know that? Because they lie about everything. And I said, first of all, I'm healthy. My body's defense mechanisms are running at 100%. Why would I care about anything going on that they're talking about? Why would I care? You know, it looks pretty serious. No, not serious to me. Because I don't run around in a state of fear, because I know the word, I know my Heavenly Father, I know my own body, and I've been to the schools to learn holistic medicine. Now, the rest of the world can be afraid if they want to be, but I'm not going to go down that road because I know your body's defense mechanisms work better than anything any pill can give you, okay? It's just that simple. But I'm a poor guy, and they're billionaires because they've convinced you that you need what they have, and they've convinced you that I'm crazy because I'm not running to the drugstore to get their overpriced poisons. I trust the Creator and this miraculous thing called our human body and what it can do. That's where my faith goes. I don't care what they produce. Never have, never will. I saw a couple very interesting videos just before airtime where this analogy was being made to Scripture where it talks about fleeing the cities, because what are we finding out? These cities are imploding, and a lot of people within the cities are getting these jabs, and so there could be an extremely high death rate in the cities. If that comes true, they will be death traps as far as disease and everything else that's going on. So the Scripture tells us to flee the cities. The cities are also full of liberals and Democrats and communists. And particularly the major cities that are causing most of the trouble today are all the mayors, practically all the mayors are Jews, just like the governors in those states, like New York State, Michigan, New Jersey, Pennsylvania. They're all Jews. Now, people say, Dan, are you anti-Jewish? Well, am I anti-Jewish because I tell you the truth? I'm just pointing out a fact, okay? If I had I'm a crime watch guy in our neighborhood, and you can't ignore facts, folks. You really can't. So if your job is to keep an eye on crime, and you notice that one particular group of teenagers is always stealing the bicycles in the neighborhood. In other words, you can watch all kinds of other teenagers and people coming from there. Nobody ever steals it, but this one group. Every time they come in, there's two or three bicycles missing. Every time. Now, does that mean that I hate black people because this group comes from a low-income housing area that's almost 100% black, and every one of these of this group that comes in here when the bikes disappear are black? Does that mean I hate black people? For simply telling you that when this group comes in of black people, you better be on your guard. You see, the propaganda says that, well, you're a white guy and you're a racist for pointing that out. Really? So you want your bike stolen like mine was? I only owned it for like 10 days and they came right up right by the front door and stole it in broad daylight. If I could have run a little faster, I'd have got the son of a bitch. But he got outside the park before I could get to him. Okay, so I saw who took the bike, and it was one of these guys. And yeah, they were non-whites. But, oh, you're racist for pointing it out. Well, I don't give a damn about your calling me a name. I could care less. My mom raised me with the old saying, sticks and stones may break my bones, but names will never hurt me. Hallelujah. Thank you, Mom. That's the truth. You can call me any name you want, because you know what? I'm going to sleep just as sound as a baby tonight, because I don't give a damn what you think, and I don't give a damn if you want to call me a name. The truth is the truth. Now, if you called me up and you had proof that something I'm saying is wrong, I will come back on this show, and I will recant what I said, and I will give the evidence of where I was wrong, and I will apologize. But in 22 years, that hasn't happened. I'm still waiting for somebody to do that. And sometimes I wish you could. I wish somebody out there could do it, because it would be nice to know that I'm wrong about all this wicked, evil shit that I have to watch day in and day out. I'm sick of it. I'm sick of what I see happening to our people. And this includes not just white people. Every racial group is being abused and used by these oligarchs at the top, that are part of that whole structure I just said, organized religion, organized government, organized banking, and now the military-industrial complex can be thrown in there too. They're all part of it. All of them are. And the corporations, they're all part of it. And they're abusing mankind at every level. And the book tells us that we're to resist evil with all our hearts. It doesn't say just evil done to white people. It says evil. If a little girl or a little boy is sold into slavery, or their bodies are torn apart for selling off their organs, or they're raped, whoever did it should die. That's what God's law says. You take the pedophile out into the courtyard and you execute him. The guy that's taking people and harvesting their organs, you take him out and you execute him. These government people and police officers that lie on the witness stand when it's a murder trial or a kidnapping trial or a rape trial, and they lie on the witness stand, you take them outside and you execute them. The judge that hid the evidence that would have found you not guilty in a capital case, he is to be executed. The prosecutor that does the same thing in a capital case is to be executed. These medical mafia people that are lying to you day in and day out about these serums, as soon as one death is attributed to their lie, they should be taken out and executed. Now, some people say, Dan, that's kind of hard, but let me ask you a question. If my way were done, do you think we'd have the lying going on that's going on right now? Do you? Think about that. Do you think we'd have a Fauci getting up day after day after day telling bold-faced lies that he's doing just because it's making him billions of dollars, him and his buddies? Do you think that would happen? Do you? Do you think police officers would come in when you're on trial for, say, rape or murder or kidnapping, and they get on the witness stand and tell a big fat lie, and you know they're lying? Wouldn't it be nice to know that when that guy is found guilty of lying under oath, that he's taken outside and he's executed? Because that's what we would have done to you if you had been found guilty of rape, murder, kidnapping. Wouldn't that be nice to see lying police officers hanging from the end of a rope? I know I would like to see that. I'd love to see that. I'd love to see the judges that are committing these crimes hanging from the ends of ropes. I'd like to see the medical mafia people hanging from ropes. I would like to see the news media that purposely lies hanging from the end of ropes. I'd like to see bureaucrats in the government that are doing these acts of treason and murder hanging from the ends of rope. Now, if you think that makes me a bad guy, well, that's your problem, not mine, because I know my way works. And why is it that I know my way works? Because my way is based on the book and the guy that wrote the book, who's known to most people as God. Yah, Yahweh, Yahovah, God, whatever pronunciation you want, it's the Creator Father who gave us his laws on our hearts and in writing, because up until recently, that's exactly what people did with people who committed those kind of crimes. It was called perjury. You don't hear about that much anymore, do you? Because we don't hold anybody accountable. You want to know why you've got no justice in the land and it's a free-for-all? Because you're not holding anybody accountable. When you take an oath to tell the truth in a court of law, that's serious, people. Because if you don't have truth in the witness stand, you have no justice. Just as if you don't have honest elections, you don't have a republic. That's why nothing works. You're not electing anybody anymore. They're chosen and selected for you. You just go through the voting process to make you feel good. It doesn't mean a damn thing. The same thing in the courtroom. They go through the motions, but you don't have it. If they're allowed to obfuscate evidence, if they're allowed to get in the witness stand and lie, how the hell are you going to get justice? So the corollary of that, of course, is let's hold people accountable. And some of the very first people that need to be held accountable are people in black robes called judges. Their name should be called referee because the judging is done by the jury. You didn't know that, huh? Judges should have nothing to do with it. A judge is simply a referee to make sure everything proceeds in an orderly manner. The jury is the people that do the judging of right and wrong and the sentencing. See, everything's asked backwards. So all these lawyers, prosecutors, district attorneys, attorneys general, government people, and police officers, and military men, you lie under oath to us, and it's a capital case, you get the punishment that would have went to the defendant, which in a capital case means that you die. That's how serious it is. You die. You want to get these assholes to start telling the truth and being responsible, how about start punishing them for lying? Oh, Dan, we couldn't do that. That's archaic, and it's so violent. What do you think's being done to you people? They're talking about sticking this serum into your children forcefully and into you forcefully. You don't think that's violent? People need to get their heads out of their asses. And the sooner you do it, the sooner we'll fix this problem. If you're looking for a political solution to this problem, you are part of that crowd that is dumber than a box of rocks. We're way beyond a political solution because they have corrupted the whole political process, just like they have corrupted the whole electoral process. It's gone. It's up to we the people. And that's starting to happen. And of all places, France. Now, who would have believed it? For as long as I've been alive, everybody's made fun of the French that they couldn't get out of their own way. And yet it's the Frenchmen who are leading the world in protesting against the bullshit going on right now. So hallelujah. Très bien, mes amis. Très bien. That means very good. Good, my friends. Mes amis. So, upside down world, flee the cities, and we have a right to self-defense. And our rights cannot be abrogated by this system or any others. And again, we were called to be overcomers. That means that you must maintain your faith, you must maintain your focus, and stay true to yourself and to our Father and to each other. We're part of a family, ladies and gentlemen. I hope you know that. So what I wanted to do is because of the war, and we are in a war, I'm glad people are finally realizing that. And, you know, we've talked about a lot of these things on this program many weeks ago, and now we're starting to hear it in a lot of other venues. So hallelujah. When Yahweh said, my truths, when they are put into the ethers, do not come back without a profit. Do not come back without some sort of a change or gain. And as we put his truths into the air, it is starting to happen. Hallelujah for that, right? So we talked about that a while back here, that we're in a war. The enemy is like a football team. They're out on the field. They're running up and down the field, and they're scoring points. Our team is still sitting on the bench. Our team doesn't even know that the game has started. So the enemy's running roughshod over everything. And we're reaching the point in the timeline where our team is starting to put their helmets on, just like when we were in high school. We're putting our helmets on. We're checking our shoulder pads to make sure they're on good and tight. And we're about ready to go out on the field. Because the enemy's had a free reign of running up and down that field. It's about time we go out there and tackle a few of these sorry asses. It's about time we get up there and we get on the line and say, okay, you want that ball over that goal line, you got to come through me. You got to come through me. Maybe that's why the Father had me play football from 7th grade to the first year of college. So I got to play 7th, 8th, and 9th grade, and then I went to high school 10th, 11th, 12th grade, and freshman year at a university. So I got to be on the football field and experience all that at many different levels. And I will say this, at the college level, even though it was a small college, the intensity level went up about 10 to 12 fold over what it was at high school. And we were a good high school team. We were undefeated my senior year. In fact, the first three games of the year, the other team didn't score a point. However, when you get to college level and you're playing against the best of the high school players that show up at college level, it's much more intense. You get your bell rung a whole lot more often, and you better be on your A game every time you go out on the field, because if you don't, you're going to get clocked. I'm telling you, I never hurt so much in all my life. We're going to go to Psalm 91 because it is a war that we are in. Psalm 91 is known as the soldier's psalm. And as we read down through it, it's not that long, you're going to find out why it's called the soldier's psalm. Coming up on the Feast of Tabernacles time, which is the September-October time frame in the Hebrew calendar. And it was at that time that the soldier's ransom was offered up by the men of faith for the fighting, all the men of fighting age. They paid the soldier's ransom for Yahweh to protect our men as they struggle against the evil. So I thought it appropriate, we'll just read down through Psalm 91 tonight in honor of all of our warriors and warrior princesses out there who are willing to stand in the gap and stand up against the tyranny that's in this world today. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of Yahweh, He is my refuge and my fortress, my Elohim God, in whom I trust. For He will deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with His feathers. Under His wings you will take refuge. His faithfulness is your shield and rampart. You shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor of the arrow that flies by day, nor of the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor of the destruction that wastes at noonday. A thousand may fall at your side, and 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. Remember that one, folks. You will only look with your eyes and see the recompense of the wicked, because you have made Yahweh your refuge and the Most High your dwelling place. No evil shall happen to you, neither shall any plague come near your dwelling, for He will put His angels in charge of you to guard you in all your ways. They will bear you up in their hands so that you do not dash your foot against a stone. You will tread on the lion and cobra. You will trample the young lion and the serpent underfoot. Because He has set His love on me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him on high because he has known my name. This is, of course, Yahweh speaking here. He will call on me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. I will satisfy him with long life and show him my salvation. Again, that last part are the words of our Heavenly Father to you and me, ladies and gentlemen. When you make Him your rock and your refuge, when you know His name. How many church people today talk about Yahweh's name? How many people even acknowledge the fact He has a name? Well, it's God. No, God is not a name. It's a title. It's like king or bureaucrat or alderman or commissioner. It's not a name. There's meaning in the names. my name is Daniel. It's a Hebrew name. It comes and it means to judge as or with El, God. It could also be called Mighty Judge. My surname, my family name is Welsh. And it comes from Hebrew. As a lot of people don't know it, the Welsh language is a direct descendant of ancient Hebrew. And it's kind of cool that every day you and I speak a little Welsh. Well, how's that, Dan? Because when you say dad, you're speaking Welsh. Because dad is a Welsh word for father. How about that one? When I was a boy, we didn't call him father very often. It was always dad. Hey, dad. For some reason, it rolled off the tongue easier, and since I'm a Welshman, that's probably why. It just seemed to roll and sound better than calling him father. So, hey, dad, how you doing? Dad, you're looking down from up there now. I know you told me many years ago, be careful, son, and I said, thank you. I shall be as careful as I can be, but I will put my faith in my Father in heaven, and I am going to be about his work, and I really don't care what happens to me, because that's the truth. I really don't care. I don't want to go sooner than I have to, don't get me wrong, but I decided a long time ago that if you're going to read the Word, if you're going to believe in the Father, then it had better show up in your life in some manner. Because if it doesn't, those are empty words. They mean nothing. Sure as hell don't mean anything to him. Empty words. Much like the word love that we talked about earlier. When somebody says they love you, but you don't see any of the things that go along with it, is that truly love? Think about that. Because if you love the Father or you love somebody on this earth, then it should be a natural thing to care about these people. And if you care about them, you want the best for them. You want to communicate with them. You want to have a relationship with them, whatever. But there's a huge difference between just mouthing the words love or care and actually proving it by your actions. And I'm sure all of you have been in a case where somebody who said, I love you, and you sat there going, huh? I know I've been there a few times. Just kind of your mouth open and going, you know, what? You love me? Says who? All right. Ah, well, enough of that. Okay, this would be a good time since we're getting fairly long in the hour and a half here. If anybody has something they've got to report, or if you've got a question based on what we've covered or any other thing that's in the news, this is our platform. This is not just my show. This is a platform for the body of Yahshua out here right now. Our brothers and sisters in the faith, this is your platform to share, to ask, to report, to make an observation, whatever. There's a scripture that says, in the counsel of many, there is victory. Think about that, folks. I've used that throughout my life, and you know what? It works every time. Instead of thinking I have all the answers, I seek out the advice of everybody I trust around me. In the counsel of many, there is victory. Say hallelujah. So we're all part of a team. We're all part of a family. And the sooner we start thinking that way and acting that way, a lot better. Things get a whole lot better. And people are starting to exemplify, I think it's in Ezekiel, where it talks about Yahweh will pour out his spirit upon all flesh, and those dead and dry bones will come alive. In fact, there's a really good song. I can't think of her name right now. It's escaped me, but it's called Come Alive. My brother sent it to me, and it's a beautiful song. If you can find it, play it. Come Alive. It's a lady that sings it. I can't think of her name. But it's very appropriate for what's going on right now. Come Alive, and it's talking about the dead and dry bones, representing people who are spiritually dead, just kind of like zombies out there. And Father's Spirit will be poured on them, and they will put on flesh, and they'll become living beings again, His sons and daughters that do care and do get energized for doing the right thing, do have the Holy Spirit operating within their lives instead of just going through the motions of living. Think about that. And that's happening. We're witnessing it right now. You've got a front row seat, as my Tennessee friend used to say. Hey, Dan, we've got front row seats for the end of the age. And boy, was he right. That was 30 years ago he said that. Front row seats for the end of the age. All right. And I don't see anybody trying to call in. So we'll go ahead and wrap it up for tonight. Definitely stay alert, folks. We are really in the middle of some stuff between Afghanistan, what the military's doing, this pushing of this poison. The resistance is growing in many countries of Europe, and even some of the Canadian folks, and here in the United States, people are finally starting to stand up and voice their opposition. This is going to cause the Antichrist much aggravation, and their wrath will become great. But the harder they push back, the harder they push, the more they wake up. Until we reach that point that Yahshua talked about, that His coming, the anointed one that has His blessing upon him, will be on the scene, and this thing is going to turn around. It's going to turn around very, very quickly, as our people become a flame and a fire, and the enemies of Yahweh Yahshua become like stubble, and the fire consumes them. That'll be a glorious day, won't it? When all of the mischief makers are exterminated. Can you imagine the peace and prosperity on this earth? Did you know that if you confiscated the wealth of the top, like, 0.1% of these rich bastards that are doing all this nefarious shit, if you confiscated their wealth, nobody on earth would have to have a job. Did you know that? There's enough gold, silver, platinum, titanium, you name it, precious metals and resources enough for every person on earth to live a decent life and not even have to work. Because think about it. Do you think God put you on the earth to be an industrial slave? Or just to live as men and women upon the land, to enjoy life, enjoy your families, sunshine, the animals, to grow crops, to live out your life, but you've accepted the role of an industrial slave because of the trinkets and the baubles that Babylon offers you. You've missed the whole point for being. That wasn't His intention. Just something to think about. Dear Heavenly Father Yahweh, we give You the praise, the glory, and honor. We thank You for this opportunity to share with one another on this evening. We also thank You for this these devices, this technology that allows Your word to go out across this world. We pray it'll reach the ears of those that are meant to hear it, and it'll touch the hearts of those that are meant to come out of the misery and suffering of this new world order and come into the fold of the sheep, those that love You above all things. And we await Your return in the establishment of this kingdom. And we also wait for the identification of these enemies of all mankind so that they can be gathered up and sent and put into the fires, which is a biblical way of saying judgment. Bring judgment upon their heads, Father Yahweh. Be with us all. Guide us in all the things that we say and do to Thy glory and for Thy kingdom. Forgive us our sins and shortcomings. Give us good discernment to see through the lies and deception, and always we ask that You protect us from our enemies. We ask all this in the name of Yahweh. Hallelujah.